Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. How much do you suffer for Jesus? In 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, the Apostle Paul declared, quote, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Regrettably, the reason very few of us experience any persecution for Jesus is because we are not zealously living for Him. Let's open our Bible now that we might learn what it means to live a, quote, godly life in Christ Jesus that brings with it sufferings and persecution.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's a Tuesday morning here in Texas and just a good morning to be spending time with Jesus. We just came from Bible study. We have a set appointment every Tuesday after Bible study. Stephen and I just do a recording and a teaching. We'll often do a short. It's just a good time because we've just had fellowship. We've just experienced conviction. We've just opened the Word of God. And that's now fresh in my mind and heart as, you know, we come to do this teaching. So thank you, Lord Jesus. How much would you say that you are persecuted for Jesus? When you look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, Paul says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." And so we're going to talk about that today. Very few of us in the West, in America, in Europe, or in Asia, depending on where you are, there are some areas of Asia where Christians are enduring terrible persecution. But, you know, very few Christians, certainly in the West, experience persecution for Jesus. But the reason for that is that we're not living a Christ-centered life. The more we live a Christ-centered life, which is to say, not only are we not living a sinful life, but the more that we're about the business of Christ, the more we're living for Jesus, loving for Jesus, giving for Jesus, and forgiving for Jesus, the more we will begin to experience persecution. So if you look at your life and you would candidly, frankly, honestly say that, yeah, no, I'm really not persecuted for Jesus at all. Well, that is a definitive sign that there are areas of your life where you're not living for Him as you should. Because again, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, Paul says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Why is that? Well, because the more you're living for Jesus, the more you want to talk about Jesus, the more you want to bring Jesus up, the more you know and are convinced that without Jesus, only an eternity in hell awaits for everyone. So the greatest, most loving thing you can do for someone is to share Jesus with them, is to talk about Jesus. But that's hard, right? Because people don't want to hear this. People think that they're Christians already. People think they've already heard it. People think it doesn't make a difference. I mean, so again, this is difficult, but the more you grow to know Jesus, the closer you grow to be with Him, the more you'll want to talk about Him, the more you'll want to share Him, the more you'll want to use your time, talents, and money in service to Christ. And with that will become persecution. So we're gonna talk about that today in 2 Timothy. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. Father, we thank you that we have our Bible, Father. We thank you for the scriptures. But above all, Father, we thank you for Jesus, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on our behalf that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen, and we worship you today. Holy Spirit, we do ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. Give us eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand. in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. All right, so we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're looking at verses 10 to 17. Powerful, powerful verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. If you're watching on YouTube, Stephen will have in the title the verses. And I guess we'll title this something like, you know, how much are you persecuted for Jesus? All right, so let's look at verse 10. Now Paul is in prison, and he's not going to get out. This is his last letter, and you know, he's writing to a spiritual son, Timothy, and it's just got incredible and beautiful language. You know, he knows he's at the end of his life, and so he's given Timothy instructions about how he wants Timothy to live his life in Christ. And what's amazing is that here again, Paul is going to use himself as the example. Now, this is something that's extremely bold, but all of us ought to be growing in our life in Christ. All of us ought to be growing to be more and more like Jesus so that we can begin to tell others to emulate us in the ways that we are living our life for Christ, whether that's spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, or relationally. Now everyone should have some areas that they're doing well. Perhaps you're a good giver, okay? Perhaps you're giving as the scripture would have you to give of your money into the work of Christ. Then you could tell others to emulate you in your giving. Perhaps that you're doing well in, you know, spending time in the Word of God every single day. And you could tell others to emulate you in the way that you spend time in the Word of God. Perhaps you're sharing the Word of God with others. Perhaps you're consistently building others up in the Word of God. Whatever it is, perhaps you have a prayer life where you're going to Jesus 5, 6, 7, 10 times a day, whether it's for a minute or two, and you're just actively in prayer, or you're just someone who's just consistently, you know, having a heart of thanksgiving, thanking your Heavenly Father, thanking for Jesus, thanking the Holy Spirit for just the different blessings in your life, whether they're spiritual and material blessings. Or perhaps you're someone that has an active lifestyle of examining yourself and repenting over areas of your life that are out of place. Then you could share with others, you know, who know you. What's powerful about these verses is that you can't get to know someone by simply seeing them in a pulpit. You ought to have relationships with other Christians, and hopefully serious Christians, that know about your life, that know how you're living your life, that know the things that you do well, know the things that you don't do well. You ought to have Christians that you're discipling and mentoring, and you ought to have those Christians that you know that are more serious than you are in their walk with Christ, and that they're discipling you, they're exhorting you, they're correcting you, they're rebuking you, and you're submitting to them in this. So Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 10, he says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance." Verse 11, persecutions, sufferings. "What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them." So stop for a minute and think about your life. How many Christians do you know? How many disciples of Jesus Christ, serious disciples of Jesus Christ, do you know personally, or that you walk with personally, where you could say, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life," or they could say to you, because you've walked with them. Timothy was with Paul. He was out on missionary journeys where he was living with Paul, and he saw how Paul lived his life moment by moment, day by day. And here at the end of his life, Paul is commanding Timothy to just simply remember what you've seen. because you hear a man preach from the pulpit, or because you listen to me, you know, preach, whether it's on a podcast or you're watching on YouTube, you know, you can know a little about me from that. But if you're in my life and you're around me moment by moment, day by day, you'll get a far better picture of who I really am. Regrettably, you know, many Christians and many Christian leaders have a certain attitude and zeal on, say, Sunday morning when they're preaching and teaching, but that's not who they are, you know, Monday through Saturday. And that's not okay. Timothy lived with Paul. You know, you cannot make disciples from a pulpit. Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all nations, right? Matthew 28, 18 to 20, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything he commanded, right? And he said he'd be with us until the end of time. But Paul tells Timothy here, and he reminds Timothy, you, however, know all about my teaching. Paul saw Timothy witness Paul teaching, not from a pulpit on Sunday, but every day, wherever he went, whether he was talking to one person or 10 people or 100 people, Timothy saw Paul teaching the word of God, okay? Now, if you're a Christian leader today, if you're a preacher or a worship leader or a life group leader or an elder or a deacon, if you have a lifestyle where it's only on church day or only when, you know, that you have these public gatherings that you're talking about Jesus, then you know you have a material area for repentance, because you ought to be talking about the word of God and teaching the word of God really wherever we go. We ought to be doing it when we're home. We ought to be doing it with our family. We ought to be doing it with our children. We ought to be doing it with our spouses. We should be looking to speak the word of God and teach the word of God and talk about Jesus wherever we go. Now, this is what Timothy would have witnessed in Paul. Now, very few, very, very few Christians are in relationship, you know, deep relationship with someone like this. I mean, again, Paul is our example in the scripture of how to be, but we want to more and more become people that we could say this about ourselves. You, however, know all about my teaching. And we want to be in relationship and fellowship with Christians who are like this. The more you're around Christians that are excited for Jesus, the more that you'll be excited for Jesus. Now, yes, some of that can happen, you know, hopefully by listening to these teachings, you know, and you see my excitement and zeal for Jesus. Hopefully that gets you more excited to go out and do all the things that we talk about in these teachings. But you, again, the more time you can spend around truly zealous, focused, Christ-centered, other-centered Christians, the better off you're going to be in every aspect of your life. And Timothy had this privilege with his spiritual father, Paul. Excuse me. Verse 10, Paul tells Timothy, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord, Jesus, rescued me from all of them." Again, it's a profound statement, because Paul is telling Timothy, you've been with me. You've lived with me. We've walked together for years, where Timothy just witnessed it. "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life." So Paul can tell Timothy, remember back those years we were together every day, and that's how you want to be. You want to emulate Paul. And as I've said, Paul is the man. Jesus is God. And we obviously want to spend our lives emulating Jesus, but the scripture actually tells us in multiple places to follow the example of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." So Timothy knows Paul's purpose, his faith, his patience, his love, and endurance. And again, you want to be the type of Christian that you are growing to be more and more about Christ, growing more and more to spend your time, you're using your gifts and your talents, the things you're good at or talented at, and using your money in service to Christ that other people can see it? Are you someone that brings up Jesus? Are you someone that when you're in conversation brings up Jesus? Now, again, the vast majority of Christians don't do this very much, and there's no condemnation here, okay? But there ought to be a conviction that people ought to know all about your way of life, your teaching, your purpose, your faith, your patience, your love, your endurance. Timothy also knew verse 11, Paul's persecutions and his sufferings. Again, when you spend time with a serious believer in Christ, and again, as I've already said, there are a few people, you know, in the West who are persecuted for Christ. We live such an existence that we get to do teachings like this. We get to teach the Word of God, and we experience very little persecution for it. And because of that, you know, we've become lazy. We're for the most part a very baby and immature church. I don't like that, right? We need to, as Christian leaders, repent and begin to just be more intentional in our walk with Christ and not just from a pulpit. Mm. Paul says, yes, the Lord rescued me from all of them. So Paul continued to do the work of Christ. Timothy was with him. He witnessed this. And he saw that although Paul did endure sufferings, he did endure persecution, that ultimately Jesus rescued him. And then verse 12, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I mean, there's part of that verse that, golly, I mean, who wants to endure persecutions? Who wants to really suffer? No one wants to have a hard life. No one wants to just have troubles and hardships and trials and difficulties. But as our Tom is our senior elder, one of the ways this persecution comes is from our spiritual enemies. The devil and the demons really aren't concerned with those who aren't laboring to live a godly life in Christ, because you're not a threat to the kingdom of hell. But Paul says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. If you're working to advance the cause of Christ, you will be getting the attention of the devil and of demons, and they will more and more be assigned to you. Again, the goal of the devil and demons is to make sure that hell is as populated as possible, is to come against the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and against the Word of God. So again, if you're using more and more of your time, your gifts and talents, and your money in service to Christ, the more, you know, you are a problem to the enemy. And so you can expect that you're gonna have more problems than someone who's not doing anything, because you're not a threat to the kingdom of hell. Paul says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So as I said earlier, examine your heart, examine your life. You know, how much are you persecuted? And again, very few Christians are persecuted in any way. Verse 13, Paul says, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse and deceiving and being deceived. So again, 12 and 13, 2 Timothy 3. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Verse 13, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And this is a hard word, because it, you know, it would seem that, you know, in the church overall, the majority of Christians aren't getting better, but are getting worse. And, you know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, there have been some studies done where only 7% of all people who claim to be Christians can have any assurance that they genuinely are Christians, that they really are saved, that they really do have eternal life. If I was to write out 10 questions, 5 questions on their beliefs, and then 5 questions on their lifestyle, only 7 out of 100 people would answer those questions, if they answer them truthfully, that when the test was graded, that you could say that, yes, they are certainly saved based on their belief and based how they're living their life, based on their conviction of sin, based on how they're living their life in service to Christ, that they are genuinely saved. Now, remember, nothing that we do saves us. Nothing that we do helps to save us. We're saved only by receiving the free gift of salvation. We're saved only by knowing ourselves to be hopeless, desperate sinners in need of a Savior and putting our full faith, trust, and confidence in Jesus alone to save us. We're saved by receiving Christ, right? John 1:12, yet to all who received him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. So nothing we do saves us. But the fact that we're living our life trying to more and more love Jesus, the fact that we do love Jesus, the fact that we think about what's pleasing to Jesus, the fact that we're trying to use our time, our gifts and our talents and our money in service to Jesus, all of these don't help save you, but they do give evidence that you are saved, that you have received Jesus. The fact that you know that Jesus Christ is the only way for an individual to have their sins forgiven, the only way to come into relationship with our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the only way to be delivered from an eternity in hell, and the only way to go to heaven. The fact that you're convinced of that shows that you truly have received Jesus as Savior. If someone asked you, do you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? And you say, I'm not sure, or you say, I don't know, you're almost certainly not saved. It's essential that we understand that only in Jesus can anyone, 8.3 billion people in the world, only by Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ can someone be forgiven of their sin, delivered from an eternity in hell, and go to heaven when they die. So, again, you want to examine yourself. Can you see evidences of eternal life in you? If you're saved today, Jesus Christ is living in you. And there ought to be an evidence of that. There ought to be some concern for Jesus. There ought to be some desire to do his will. There ought to be a desire to please him. There ought to be a conviction over sin. And you ought to be little by little, day by day, growing a little bit more to be like Jesus and to love him more. But Paul says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Look at verse 14. Paul tells Timothy, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. What are you convinced of? I asked the guys this in Bible study today. What are you convinced of? Paul says, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of. If you watch or listen to these teachings that we put out on a consistent basis, then you've clearly been convinced of these things. Continue in what you've been convinced of. Paul says, because you know those from whom you learned it. Again, Timothy lived with Paul. He was on mission trips with Paul. He saw how Paul lived his life. He saw how every day he could see Paul praying and praying and praying and praising and worshiping. He saw Paul continually, you know, laboring to live every aspect of his life in service to Jesus. He saw how Paul used his time, his gifts and talents and his money in service to Christ. And so Timothy had this as an example. And Timothy is convinced now that life is about Jesus. You ought to be convinced that your life in all life is about first receiving Jesus as Savior and then growing to know him more, growing to love him more, growing to obey him more, growing to please him more, growing to use again your time, talents, and money more and more in service to Christ. But as for you, and you know, the scripture's telling this to me and to you now, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Continue to use your time, talents, and money in service to Jesus. Continue to work to get the gospel out there. Continue to live your life in a way that's more and more pleasing to Jesus. Continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it. Verse 15, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Whatever you become convinced of and from whom you've ever learned it, if you've listened to these teachings, you've learned it from me, it has to be based on the holy scriptures, okay? Anything you've learned from anybody that's not in line with the holy scriptures is of no use or no value. It's counterproductive. Get rid of it, okay? Everything that I've labored to teach you is from the Word of God. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Everything we've taught about Jesus is in the Bible, okay? You can't simply make up your own Jesus. You can't believe in your own Jesus. You have to believe in Jesus, the Jesus that's clearly portrayed in the Word of God, in the Bible. Paul tells Timothy how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. How well do you know the Holy Scriptures? How much time are you spending in the Bible? And then Paul gives these uses for the Scriptures, and we'll close here. How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which number one, verse 15, 2 Timothy 3, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The first purpose of your Bible is to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's the first purpose of the Scripture. The Scripture ought to be used before anything else to lead an individual to conviction over their sin, to know that they're a hopeless, helpless, desperate sinner, and then in wisdom lead them to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That is the first and primary purpose of your Bible, is to lead you from spiritual death to spiritual life, to lead you to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Then from there, verse 16, Paul says, all scripture is God-breathed. All 66 books of the Bible are breathed by the Holy Spirit. They're the Word of God. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. After you've been saved, after the scripture has been used to lead you to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, the scripture ought to be used. Your preachers and teachers ought to be preaching the scripture, and when you're reading it yourself, it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The scripture is used that when you look at it, it's like a mirror. It's reflecting what's out of place. It's correcting whatever it is in your life that's out of place. And when we don't receive correction, we need to be rebuked, okay? This ought to be a practice that we're consistently practicing in our own life, where we're earnestly repenting, where we see things that are out of place, where we see things deliberately that we're doing that are sinful and not in line in scripture, not in line with scripture, and where we see areas of our life that are out of place, where we're not really using, you know, the time we've been given, the gifts and talents and the money we've been given in service to Christ. It's the Bible, y'all, that is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. For what purpose? So that the man of God, this means so that all men and women may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. that you would be equipped to do the work that Jesus has done for us. So again, the first question we talked about, you know, was, you know, how much are you persecuted for Jesus? And the probability is that you undergo probably very little persecution for Christ. So begin today to be more intentional in your walk with Jesus Christ. Begin to live for him more, begin to serve him more, begin to spend more time in prayer and in fellowship and community. And as you do that, you will begin to experience more and more persecution in Jesus. But with that, you'll experience a deeper and more profound and more intimate relationship with him as well. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We thank you for our Bible. Father, we just thank you for these scriptures, Lord. We ask you to forgive us, Father, again, where we have lived very casual Christian lives. Father, we have experienced very little persecution for Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask you to convict us to live our lives more and more in service to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord Jesus, we do love you and bless you today. We praise you and we thank you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to seal this to our hearts now in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.